Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Are you a business looking for a fresh new way to reach potential customers? Well, you need to get airtime on IT TV, a 24/7 streaming and on-demand TV service online and on Roku. With Roku having a potential reach of 62 million people, it's a perfect opportunity to reach potential customers through affordable commercial and infomercial spots. Visit us online today at itnetwork.tv.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We're going to have a great show for you today. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we're going to learn all about the people. What are the people up to? Now, before I go ahead and introduce the people, I'm going to invite you to do what I always invite you to do, and that is to go out and share the show. There's someone right now, they may be working, they may be sleeping. I don't know what they're doing, but what they need to be doing is watching the Roundtable Talk Show. But they'll only know our show is live if you share it with them. So then send that text, send that tweet, make that post, send that email, send it out to your network, and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. Because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing the show to your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. I'm pretty sure you've seen him before because he does a million different podcasts and interview shows. Mr. Chris Voss, Forbes Top 50 recognized CEO, host of the Chris Voss author, consultant, speaker, YouTuber, coach, many awards, audience over 300,000 on social media, 35 plus years as a serial entrepreneur. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Well, I'm single, 6'1". I like pina coladas and I like to walks in the park. You did a great job on the bio. Thank you very much. I'm an author of two books, Beacons of Leadership, this one behind me, and a new book that just barely came out, Five Keys to something or other. I don't know. I write them and just forget about them afterwards. But I do this, the Chris Voss Show podcast, and I don't know, gives me something to do, and my parole agent approves of it.
Your parole? Did you say your parole agent, Chris? You are trouble already. It's Monday early in the morning. You want to start trouble.
That's okay. What the judge says. I don't know.
we have some questions for you, Chris, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, who hopefully won't give me too much trouble, Mr. Wise.
I am the complete opposite of Chris. When I had him on my show, we had a great time. But I'm a fellow podcaster. I just launched a production company last year. We're actually sponsoring a big event coming up, so we're proud of that.
You and Chris, I hope my other guests work with me because you and Chris over here. I don't even get a chance to do my introduction. Wise.
Oh, my apologies. I thought you just, I don't know. You gave my intro. I'm sorry. And it's not going to compare anything to Chris. Chris is like, I'm sure he sent you like this big spew of all his accomplishments. I'm like, oh man, I heard his intro and I'm like, oh, I can't compare with that.
Well, let me at least do it. May I at least do it?
My apologies.
So Wise was widowed at age 31, spent many years being self-destructive. Now he's remarried and has turned his life around. Good morning, Wise. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Tell us about yourself, Wise.
Well, I am the host of Stuck in My Mind podcast. I'm my day job, I'm a table games dealer. So I do that and I get paid to play games. But my passion is doing my podcast. I launched my production company last year, as well as an internet radio station for podcasters. And I'm just having a great time. I found my voice. I found something I love to do. And I'm just taking it as far as I can.
Wonderful, wonderful. We are going to come back to you. We're going to learn more about you, but I just want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Marvin L. Storm. He has learned about exiting companies. He's an expert witness, an author, a podcaster, speaker, and a business exit coach. He teaches about exiting companies. Good morning, Marvin. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be here this morning. I'm really excited to get involved in this roundtable and kind of share some ideas. You know, as you said, and it's a great introduction there, I have been involved in several companies over my career. And as I, you know, learned, you know, you build a company and at some point in time, you're not going to live forever. So you're going to have to step away from that company. And I've had several experiences. And my last experience, I just got to thinking, you know, my plan was to kind of fade away and enjoy life. And after you've spent so many years in the fast lane and pulling over to the slow lane and even kind of parked on the side of the road, it isn't all that exciting, you know. And so I just got to thinking about, you know, my experiences and building companies and getting to the point where you exit them and sell them. And I just thought, you know, there's probably a lot of other people out there that if they were a little bit more dialed in, and certainly on my last exit and most exits that I've been involved in, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And I really thought that if you could provide some insight to what individuals, entrepreneurs, founders needed to do to position their company to optimize and maximize that exit, they could walk away from the table and have a lot more money transferred into their account once they do exit their company. And I thought, you know, what I'm going to do is share some of that knowledge, and not only my own, but I decided I would interview, you know, the investment bankers, the business brokers, CPAs, M&A specialists, mergers and acquisition advisors, and folks like that that do this for a living. And they would share their war stories, the good stories about how people hit it over the fence when they exited, as well as some of those stories that didn't turn out so well, or at least not as well as the founder entrepreneur really thought he was going to walk away from his business with, and kind of the whys. Why did that happen on the good side as well as on the bad side? So I started this podcast called Business Exit Stories, and that's kind of what I keep myself busy doing nowadays. And, you know, from that, you know, podcast, I get a lot of inbound questions on, you know, I had a guy the other day just said, you know, that story on that episode, you know, he sounds a lot like me. I don't want to end up like that. So I need to start thinking about how to position my company for an exit. That's what I'm kind of doing today.
Well, we have more questions for you. Just want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. We have one young lady today in a room full of gents, Miss Amy Herrick. Amy Rose Herrick is America's profit building specialist and a number one best-selling author. If it involves money in your business or personal life, Amy is your go-to pro for answers. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I am well and blessed. And this is going to be an interesting conversation today, just looking at the personalities around the table.
Absolutely. I can tell as well. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a career entrepreneur, and if it touches money, as I said, that's what I do. My big passion goes with helping business owners increase their bottom lines, and that does not always mean that you increase inventory, increase staff. It doesn't mean that you have to change locations. I find a lot of money is wasted within the business because it gets sucked down these profit-draining black holes, and you don't even know it. I have a variety of courses that are available. Most entrepreneurs or their staff, I can teach you within 10 to 30 minutes how to change those figures and give you the tools and methods to do that. The book that I have that it was a number one bestseller, I had the opportunity a little over a decade ago to do a complete life do-over, and I moved from Kansas to the U.S. Virgin Islands. I happen to be stateside right now in someone's home, so no green screen today, folks. But I live in the Virgin Islands. I enjoy it there. And we really did completely start life over with my husband, four kids and the dog and a few pallets of goods. And I do not plan on leaving. And so that is just a little bit about me.
Wow. We're going to learn a little bit more, but interesting. Are you a podcaster, you said?
No, I'm not at this point. You know, I'm looking at you guys and, you know, kudos and all that. I don't want the responsibility of doing the podcast at this point. I'm very happy to be a guest. So I enjoy that part of it. But with the other things I have on my plate right now, not room for podcasting, but it's on the slate for a little later.
Wow. I was just wondering, because we have at least 3 out of 4 podcasters. Wise, do you feel it's a responsibility to host a podcast?
Well, I just love doing it. It was something that I had been wanting to do for quite a while, but I just kept making excuses. I just kept saying, oh, who would want to listen to me? Why would anybody want to tune in and listen to the podcast? And I got furloughed from my job and I had nothing but time. So one day I just pressed record and, but it's a lot of work. I would prefer to like how she does it, where you're a guest. It's so much more fun to be a guest, but I love everything I do with my podcast. I produce it, I edit it, I promote it. I do everything for my podcast. So, but I love doing it. So I don't find it work as work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She has a lot of things on her plate. So that's a lot of things she doesn't want to have to add. So I feel that's her it. For that. I understand where being a guest is much easier.
Yes. What are your feelings on being a podcast?
It's a different world. It's a different world. And what I did not share is that I'm living in a household with 3 generations. And at this point, we're also homeschooling. And there are other things going on. So when I say the responsibility, I feel like if you're going to do anything, you should do it well. You should do it so that it is a product that you are proud of. And it's something that is going to be a legacy. And I don't feel that I can put the effort into it to have that excellent result. And I would rather wait and do it with excellence and finish focusing on, I'm re-releasing 11 books soon. And I've got other things that I want off my plate first. So I can say kudos to you guys, because I know some podcasters and folks, what you don't see is the lining up of the guests, the screening, the getting things scheduled, the dealing with the technology, the promotion. And there's a lot that goes into what these guys do in order for you to see the product that they put out. So it lots behind the scenes you don't see that they're doing in order for you to have that good of a product. Sharifa, too. She didn't just show up in 6 minutes and this happens. No.
Well, I do. That's what I was about to say. That's why I do the Roundtable Talk Show as an organic, unedited talk show. It's like whatever happens, I'm not doing any screening. I always get 1 or 2 guests, or actually 1 or 2 PR representatives for guests who go, well, when is the pre-call or the pre-show call? And I'm like, there will be no pre-show calls at all. We'll show up and we'll see what happens. How is it for you, Marvin?
Well, I agree that, you know, it's not for the faint of heart when you get involved in podcasting. I was a little naive when I got involved. You know, I just thought, you know, like was mentioned before, you just push record and you're off to the races. And it's a little bit more involved than that. But one thing that I've really enjoyed is the learning curve that I've gone through, because, you know, in my own career, I've had several exits, you know, and you think those are really interesting and great, and you learned a lot, and things may have turned out well or not so well. But in the format of the podcast that I have, the Business Exit Stories podcast, I interview these professionals that do the working with entrepreneurs every day. You know, they, you know, close maybe 5 to 10 transactions a year, some 20 transactions a year. And they've been doing this for a decade or two, and they have phenomenal stories of things that went well and things that didn't. And there's so many different permutations of an individual who has a business and all of the complexities of that business and what the buyer is looking for when they, you know, look at acquiring that business. And what I've really enjoyed about the organic process of doing the podcast is meeting all these fascinating people and the stories. Anyone that is a business owner is looking at some point in time of exiting, you might as well learn from other people's mistakes and what other people did right so that you can do the things that are right when your time comes, and that you can avoid those landmines when your time comes, so you don't have to go through the painful experiences. You can learn from others. And that's what I've really enjoyed about the podcasting experience. Yes. Is just the learning curve for myself and for the audience, and kind of the gratitude that a lot of people that listen to the podcast say that, you know, I've listened to your podcast mm-hmm. for the last year or two, and I've just learned so much because I really don't want to go through
Those
experiences myself.
I'm the exact same way. I tell people I do the roundtable talk show. I host it for purely selfish reasons. I love helping people, but I learn so much. Where else can you sit down with experts and CEOs and professionals in the field and ask them mm-hmm. questions? So I learn. Chris, how is it for you?
As I mentioned before, mine's court ordered, so I have to do mine. It's a form of community service, indentured servitude, or something like that. I don't know. It's mandated by the court. So
Enjoy it, Chris. Is the question that's on the table?
Sorry, I have to keep calling back that joke since I started at the beginning.
It's funny. It's hilarious. You're going to have Marvin as an expert witness to stand up and tell what a wonderful guy you are.
Thanks, Marvin. The money's in the PayPal's in the mail. Yeah, I like podcasting. I've been doing it for 12 years. I like it. I like what you said, Sharif. I get to sit in a front row and ask questions of famous people that come on the show. And I get to ask the questions. When we usually have somebody on the show, I'll watch a lot of their media that they've done on their book tours. And so I'll be able to say, you know, what are the questions that didn't get asked? Because a lot of them will appear on this media where they get like, you know, 2 minutes mm-hmm. or 3 minutes. And so I get out to an hour with them, and I get to really delve into stuff and like dig a little bit if I want, and ask some sometimes hard questions, or sometimes ask questions that I don't really think got addressed. And so I really love the show. It's, you know, these authors spend like, they write these books, they spend like 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 hours or whatever writing and researching and doing everything. And I get the front row seat to ask them the questions. And I love that because I get to do what I want pretty much.
Yeah. That's why I do this show. That's why I host the Roundtable Talk Show, just so people have to talk to me. You know, they're my prisoners, they have to talk to me. But I love the point that you made, Chris, about the unasked questions. I've done over 300 episodes of the Roundtable Talk Show. And when I initially started, in the first 100 or so episodes, I would ask the question, what do you do? Who are you and what do you do? But then over time, I learned that just because someone does a certain thing, that's not necessarily what they're passionate about. You know, just because they're a dentist, that doesn't mean they want to talk about teeth all day. Maybe they want to talk about the poem they wrote last night. So I included the question, what are you passionate about? Do you ever find that, Chris, that people are passionate about something different than what their occupation is?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people we've had on the show, or, you know, people I've known in life, you know, they've gone through redesigns, the word escapes me, but they've come to a point in their life where, you know, I know people that went to college for like, you know, liberal arts or ballet, and, you know, they're CEOs of companies in Fortune 500 companies, you know, basically. I don't know about the ballet part, but I've known people that have went to school to go to ballet, and, you know, they're titans of business or whatever, at least entrepreneurs. So yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people sometimes do changes in their life where they and they wake up and they go, whatever, you know, my podcast and social media life was started in after 2008 when it destroyed a lot of my little empire of companies. And I was like, well, what do I do now? You know, the economy's come to a standstill. So yeah, sometimes people find stuff they love, and I actually love now more what I was doing than what I was doing then. And I'm more happier and fulfilled with my life. You know, before that I had, you know, everyone hated me, and I had boards and employees and just annoying business partners. And now I do whatever I want, and I'm happy. I can live anywhere in the world as long as there's Wi-Fi.
Yes. Yep. I'm the same way. I tell people all the time. Yes. They don't believe it, but I actually went to college to be an accountant, but I love to talk. So now I'm a talk show host. Amy, you were agreeing. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, well, I'm listening to several different points that are going on here. And when you talk about, you know, passions, I know with some of the interviews and things that I've done, what we started talking about isn't necessarily where we ended up talking about. I mean, we've talked everything from the death of a child to, you know, homeschool resources, because it was something that I knew about, and other stories. And when they're you talk to other people, everybody has a life story. Everybody's story is different, but it is the telling of the story often that can really build up or help someone else. And just picking up a nugget or two can change someone's life. And in listening, you know, on the business owners about, you know, mistakes or what are the questions that you should have been asked. You know, there are so many different things when I'm dealing with owners or with hosts. It's an opportunity to share information and learn something at the same time. So I think podcasting really changed the dynamics of the audio world. I loved radio. I was doing commercials in radio when I was a teenager because I lived two blocks from a radio station. But the podcast has completely changed that. It's not talk radio. It is not, you know, radio that most of us grew up with. So I think it's a very interesting dynamic on how it has changed the delivery of information.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think one of the things that's changed, it was a one-way medium. You just listen to the radio. You listen to the radio host's opinion, but it wasn't as much of a conversation. I know Wise, part of your story is how you transitioned and how you changed your life after you were widowed at 31.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm like, on my show, I really talk about self-help and self-development, because after she had already started me, I think she had started preparing me for life. Because when I got with my wife, she had brought me into self-development. She had taught me about reading books and getting mentors and self-development. And I think she kind of prepared me for when she was gone, even though after she was gone, I was kind of lost for a while. And I found my way back to self-development and seeking the help that I needed to deal with my grief and everything. So once I really started getting more back into the self-development, it helped me conquer the fear of wanting to do the podcast, but coming up with excuses to why I couldn't do it. So by me getting into reading more and listening to more inspirational training and a whole bunch of different courses that I've taken over the last year, it's helped me build up the confidence to come out and record within the last year, probably almost 200 interviews.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's a lot, especially in 1 year.
That's a lot.
And it's just been, but it's been great conversation. But like you said, you said something that interested, because I had said the same thing about doing my show. I said it was selfish of me wanting to, and someone corrected me. And they said, no, that's not being selfish. That's showing self-love. That's you wanting to learn and grow and develop. And I didn't think about it as that way. And it made more sense to me to spin it that way than say I'm being selfish wanting to get these nuggets, because even I'm sharing it with everyone. Everyone is getting it. So yeah. It was me showing self-love, wanting to learn from these people that are coming onto the show. Chris is a great guy. Chris is funny as hell, but he also has a story to tell. And it was great, the conversation we had, because simply it was all organic. It wasn't scripted. Mm-hmm. We just sat there and had a great conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's all I want. And sometimes someone might listen to my show and be like, I needed to hear this message. This message from me. Like, every show's not for everyone. But there's some shows where I've gotten messages from people that I've grown up with that they tell me, wow, I had to hear that message from you and someone else to really step out of my comfort zone and do this. And that's what I really want is if one person is listening and it helps them out, I'm more than happy and grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. I have to see about getting Sharifa Hardy on your show. No response. That didn't work. We'll see.
Of course you'd be on the show. I'd love to have you on.
I didn't get a no. I didn't get a hell no. I'm just waiting for something.
No, no.
And that wasn't
I would
even
love to have you on the show.
I don't that do subtle.
I kind of got frozen. So. But no, I would love to have you on my show, Sharifa.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to get on all the shows I can because I love talking to people and sharing my story. And I believe in my humble way that I have an amazing story. I've been laid off 8 times, divorced twice, built a whole bunch of businesses, ran for city council, running for Senate. So I just love to talk, as you can tell. But we're going to talk to Marvin. Marvin, what is your favorite story?
My favorite story?
From your guest. That just blew you away, surprised you, that you were like, well,
I'll answer that two ways. I have a favorite story that was a kind of a home run story from a story on that was shared on my podcast. And, you know, business owners out there can appreciate this, is that sometimes if you know how to position something and how to create the timing and how you surround yourself with the right people that are mentors and can give you great advice, and you've put together a great team, you can kind of hit the ball out of the park. But I'll share the story first about just the opposite of that. And that was a gentleman that was involved and passed his business on to his daughter. And his daughter was MBA from an Ivy League school. And, had all of the talents on by the way of resume on how to operate and run a business. And of course, he had grown the business. He had started in his garage type of thing and had grown the business over 3 decades. And, you know, every day was a struggle stacking another brick. And you learn, you know, you get that street cred once you are an entrepreneur that is in the trenches and you build your business slowly over time. And he passed his business on to his daughter. And his daughter had been running the business for about 18 months. And they were approached by another company that wanted to buy their business. And, you know, with all of her academic background and her MBA and the credentials that she had, she just thought she knew more than anyone else did at the table as they were going through the negotiations to sell that business. And she decided that, no, she was going to hang on to the business a little bit longer. It was a great offer. It was an all-cash offer. It would have been the type of generational wealth for herself and her kids and certainly for her father, who was still a major shareholder in the company. But she convinced her father that they were just continue to grow the business. And sometimes, you know, you need to take your chips and walk away when the price is right. And she didn't. She decided to stay in. And it was mentioned a little bit earlier back here about 2008, the Great Recession. Well, they were impacted by the Great Recession. This was a few years before the Great Recession when they could have taken their chips and walked away from the table. Less than 2 years later, they ended up winding down and closing the business because the business had some leverage to it. And at the end of the day, the business had to close down because they were over leveraged when the economy took a down tick. And it was a sad story where a phenomenal business that had been grown over 30 years because someone thought they just knew more about the world than, you know, a lot of the gray hairs around the table. And that was a really sad story. It really reminded me of how timing is everything in life. And timing, if you get positioned your business or anything in your life to kind of match the timing of when the time is right, you need to pull the trigger and, you know, move on or do something else. And then I'll go to the other story of a company that thought they were going to do position their business. If you've been a business owner and you're running a great business, you get a lot of inbound inquiries to your business. You know, there's a lot of money on the sidelines today with interest rates being really low. A lot of private equity companies out there, a lot of people looking to buy good businesses. And when I was running my business, I would get these calls out of the blue for people saying, you know, we'd like to, you know, buy your business. Are you interested in selling? And at the time I wasn't, and, you know, just kind of said, no, I'll take your name and number. And if I ever get to that point, I'll give you a call. Well, this happened to this gentleman that's running his business, and he got these inbound calls, and he had starting to get some health problems in his late 50s, early 60s. And he said, you know, I'd like to chat with you about selling my business. And he knew the company that wanted to buy his business. And he really decided that maybe now is the right time. And him and his wife got really excited that they were going to get a good fair price for their business. And they had negotiated a price, and they were moving toward doing all the due diligence and moving toward closing. And then the pandemic hit. And everything came to a grinding halt almost overnight. Yeah. And of course, the company wanted to step back. Let's see what's going to happen the next few months. And, you know, if we decide we want to move forward, we'll reach out to you again. And of course, he was all teed up. He wanted to sell now. He had already spent the money, and his wife had been planning vacations, and they were emotionally ready to sell. And when that pandemic hit and the buyer stepped away from the table, they went out. And now you got to keep in mind that the person is doing this himself. And so he's kind of negotiating without any really outside advisors. And he decided he went out and got a mergers and acquisition advisor. And they came in and took a look at the company and said, you know, I think we can position the company a little bit differently. I think we can tell a little bit different story. We can approach different types of buyers. And within 6 months, they had repackaged the memorandum, you know, the business plan and memorandum. They went back out, and they brought three or four other buyers to the table. And the advisor, the M&A advisor, went back out to the same company that was acquiring, had initially had the inbound call and wanted to acquire them. And to make a long story short, that same buyer, because there were other people at the table and the other people were their competitors and they did not want their competitors to get this company, they offered three times more than their original offer.
Wow.
And that's all because of having the right advisors. And, you know, even though it appeared to be a bad time with the pandemic and everything, if you get the right people at the table and you tell the right story and you position your company properly, sometimes you're surprised. So that was an over-the-fence home run for that family, and completely changed the dynamics of what they walked away from their business with.
It was still a good deal the first time around,
but it was a much better deal the second time around.
It definitely sounds like it. Now, timing is everything, and right now we do have to stop for a brief commercial break, and we'll be right back.
You need JordansRooter.com. Get free estimates, 24-hour service, special discounts for seniors and veterans. That's JordansRooter.com. Have a home repair or some remodeling you need done? No problem. We can handle all that, too. Give us a call today at 800-300-0358. At Jordans Rooter, we take pride in our work and always make sure to get the job done right the first time. That's JordansRooter.com. We want to be your Mr. Fix-It.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kimberly Cloud. I have Wigs for Success Incorporated, which deals with men and women of all races, of all genders, with alopecia, cancer, and other debilitating illnesses. If you would like to know more about my nonprofit organization and why I chose to do it, you can reach me at 443-240-7353. If you would also like to donate, you can reach me at wigsforsuccessincorporated.com. Thank you.
I've had this problem.
Big problem.
I really, really needed
a good business consultant.
And I kept searching
and searching.
There are so many choices.
It's really hard to find one that has all the things on my list.
But I finally did it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you.
If you are looking for one as well,
look no further.
Here's a really good one.
Just use mine.
Use mine.
I'm very satisfied.
Definitely recommend.
Problem gone.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Roundtable Talk Show. If you missed the first 30 minutes of the show, you definitely want to watch it in the archives from the top of the show. It was interesting listening to Marvin's stories and Marvin's examples about the two different instances. One company lost out. One company benefited three times as much. I want to go over to you, Amy. One of the comments or that we had in the chat was a business should be sellable every day of the year. Let's talk a little
Absolutely.
Bit about that.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes an owner will have a formulation in their mind, oh, I'm going to sell this business when I retire, or they've picked out at some point in their timing that I'm going to sell this business. And they assume that the cash buyer, everything's going to work out. And I call that the rose-colored glass scenario. But I think many entrepreneurs don't start their business with the idea it should be sellable every day of the year from when you open the doors. You don't know when an offer is going to come in. And do you have a business that is a package that is sellable at that moment? And you can also show why the business is sellable. Many entrepreneurs, I think, hang on to businesses too long, like the one in the example that Marvin gave that they ended up closing and walking away. And I think part of that is because many businesses have life cycles and you want to be out of your business with cash in the bank before that life cycle has gone forward. And I'm going to throw out a couple of words, and depending upon your age, you will know what I'm talking about. Pet Rocks, Cabbage Patch Dolls, Chrysler, Blockbuster movie, Blockbuster Video Rental. How about Kmart? So I think there are times when owners will hang on too long to a business when they start to go down the cycle, and then we don't have a sellable of an asset. And I've never met an entrepreneur who doesn't have another idea or another passion that if they had the cash in the bank, they would be able to transition in doing something else. And I know that in my situation, I had a financial planning practice where I managed portfolios. I had built that business to be sellable ever since the Twin Towers came down. There was a real epiphany for me on that. And when I decided to sell it because of a family crisis, I was on an airplane heading back stateside. When I touched down, I decided to sell my business. I made one phone call Monday and I had a list of who I'd reach. I had a contract in my hand and the first installment on Saturday, mostly a contract I'd written because I'd already been building that in advance. So I believe it can be done. But you have to be in a position where you can be ready to let go at any time and then work on another endeavor.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold on to you, Amy, because when I'm ready to sell, I'm going to call Amy to make sure I'm doing everything the way I need to.
Well, I'd just like to jump in here a minute. What Amy said, I could be her cheerleader, you know, because it is so true. Most business entrepreneurs are in the trenches. They don't have their head up. They're looking at growing and scaling their business. And I often get the question, you know, why would I want to think of selling my business today? That's 10 years from now. You know, I'll worry about it then, because these entrepreneurs have this mindset that the reason they're entrepreneurs is because they really have the ability to solve problems. It is what excites them, and they get into their mind that, you know, when it comes time to sell my business and exit, I'm just going to figure it out at that time. And Amy couldn't be more spot on that you should have your business teed up, ready to go. You should have everything in place. If the right opportunity came along, or if something went sideways, there's an unexpected health diagnosis or any number of things that can happen. And if you're starting from ground zero to position your business to sell it when you're in crisis, you're not going to be able to optimize. You probably won't even get anywhere close to what the business is actually worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't agree with Amy more that be ready when the time comes, even if it's unexpected.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. Chris, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, you excuse me. You want to have your business from the very get-go when you build it, the way you structure the company, everything. You want to build it to sell. You want to build businesses to sell. Like Marvin mentioned, I was guilty in the past of trying to build things for the future and, you know, an empire of stuff. And really, you want to build it from the get-go to sell. You want to sit down and make sure it's structured right. And having exits and going on and doing other things. Me, what I was doing was I was adding on other companies and doing multiple companies at the same time, which was maddening and crazy because I would get bored and I'd be like, hey, I want to do some other things. Nowadays, the mentality that's in places like Silicon Valley where, you know, I see a lot of my friends in Silicon Valley that they're like, hey, I don't want to, you know, I did this, it's successful now. I want to go build something again. And that's kind of the fun that I always had in being an entrepreneur was building something.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your inspiring lessons of success in business and innovation?
There's a lot of them. We started our first company that I wrote about in my book, Beacons of Leadership, and my first successful company. And we went through like everything. We had to get an authority license from the state government to process. We were initially denied. We overcame that. I tell that story. Whole host of stories over 53 years. It's something where we just stuck in there and overcame it and fought through it and didn't take no for an answer and said, no, we think this is going to work. After we got the denial from the state authority that oversaw the transportation industry we were entering into at the time when it was regulated, we fought back and they denied our business model, saying it was the dumbest business model they have. I have like a letter that I keep of it on my desk. It was like the worst business proposal they ever seen. That business model went forward after we negotiated with them and finally got their approval. That business model went through and dominated the market and put two of our competitors out of business into bankruptcy. And we took the market in the segment that we were in. You may have people that tell you that's not going to work or people that give you oversight in a government level that say that's stupid and it's not going to work. But usually they don't have any idea what's going to work. And of course, there's a lot of innovation that went into the fluidity of the company that made that success. But the model that was built on was solid. So, we just kept our cash burn low and our sweat equity high, and we kicked butt and innovated and won in the end.
Yes. And then you did that prison time.
Yeah, the prison time. Well, I avoided the prison time by doing the podcast for Exist Community Service.
No, but you have to frame that letter. I mean, that's a beautiful story. I mean, many people, they think that businesses just go out and start and win immediately or just grow immediately, or that there was no one who said no to them or no one who rejected them, and it's definitely not true. There's always some story behind the business. Wise, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the conversation.
Well, me being a startup business, it's been great because everybody talks about, they want to monetize their podcast, that they don't want to be the next Joe Rogan. And none of that happened. So it's like, it's hard work. You have to really build up. And so I've found other ways to generate income. I've developed websites. I've helped people launch their podcasts. So me just doing other things besides just podcasting, I've develop my skills as in editing, so people hiring me to edit their podcast, I've found other ways to generate income. Mm-hmm. And it's been great because these are things I'm passionate about. These are things I love to do. So mm-hmm. to me, on top of making money and I'm doing something I love to do, it's just can't complain.
No, you can't complain. But then I also think with monetization is that I've seen a lot of podcasters go into podcasting just expecting the money to come from the ethers and the money to come from nowhere. And I always ask the question, what are you using to monetize your platform? What are the ways that people have the ability to give you money? If you incorporate some of those into your show, then you can monetize the show. There's a comment over there. I see Amy. Amy, what are your thoughts? We want to hear you.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, we have three podcasters here, four with you. You know, I also look at this and I say, why can't your podcast be a potentially sellable asset? And I've talked mm-hmm. to several podcasters that just kind of like, wow, I never thought of that. And in many ways, you are your podcast when you are the talent, but you've got branding, you've got a name, you've got following. You have connections. And so I don't necessarily discount any business, whether it is generating a lot of revenue at this point or not, because the individual components can have a value. So with all four of you here, have you thought about what type of a sellable asset that your podcast could potentially be or the assets that it builds?
We're going to allow Chris to answer. Oh, Marvin, you want to go ahead? Go ahead, Marvin.
Yeah, I think that Amy has sort of hit on something here, is that every business, unless even a doctor, I mean, you take a doctor or a CPA or an attorney, you know, those are personal service businesses. And the real value of the business can be locked up in the expert, you know, the person that is responsible for generating the revenue. And having worked with and mentored and coached, you know, folks that are in the personal services business, and I'll give you an example. A while back, I had a guy that was an expert in his field. He gave expert testimony and provided valuation services and had been doing this for 30 years. And he was the business. Everything depended on the business. And he never really took a look at how to leverage his expertise and spread out the value of components of his business into other sectors that would have value to other folks. And so when it came time and he decided that he had some health issues and he was going to step away from his business, and it came time for him to do that, his plan was to sell off the assets. He had some computers, some specialized equipment, and he thought that may generate just on an auction, you know, posting it on, you know, some online sites in his sector, that he would be able to get $25,000, $30,000, maybe $35,000 for all those hard assets. And once I found out he was doing this, I chatted with him and said, you know, we need to take a look at your business and really what assets you have. You have all of this goodwill. You've been in business for decades. People know you. You have this database of companies that have dealt with you. There are other people in your field that are competitors that would likely be interested in your website because you have a brand out there. They'd be interested in your customer list. Things of that nature. And, you know, for podcasters, you know, if you have a following and you have, you know, people that subscribe to the podcast and things of that nature, those are the things that these intangible assets that have real value. And so yes. When I looked at starting my podcast and I looked at, okay, over time, I will be able to build up, you know, a brand in the marketplace, and I will be able to go to other people in my business or other lot of M&A firms out there that are looking to acquire followers, to acquire customers, you know, people that, you know, business owners. And so the asset in my particular niche is the audience that I am building. It's the audience that follows me and, you know, looks to that as a source of knowledge.
A lot of gold, a lot of gold. But I think what keyed in for me was it is tangible because you have a list. I think that, you know, even in the service industry, when you say a doctor is more than just being an expert, because a doctor who's been in business for 30 years should have a customer base. So there are customers.
That's what he sells. That's what he sells.
Absolutely. So definitely that's the tangible aspect, the list, the customers, that gives them something tangible. Chris, I'd love to hear your thoughts, because even in your introduction, we mentioned, and you put it in your bio, you have a following of over 300,000. What are your thoughts?
You know, you should build, you know, when I built the Chris Voss Show, I built it around me and my brand, my personal brand. And hopefully, you know, I live a long time and my personal brand lives a long time. I've always been a big mouth CEO. I grew up as an introvert, and, you know, owning companies, you have to communicate, talk, share vision, inspire everyone. So your vendors, your board, your investors, your employees, your customers, everybody, you're constantly talking, constantly selling the vision. And so I've always been the big mouth of all my companies, being the CEO from when I was 18. So I could never see selling the Chris Voss Show. It's really my brand. It would probably go to the grave with me. And I love talking and talking about whatever stupid crap I think. So I would never sell it. But what I did do was a few years ago, we started about 8 other podcasts in different silos to establish those under brand names that could be resold. So I have given a thought on that basis, but I never sell my crown jewel, which is really a brand of me. You know, when you really see what's going on in social media today, everyone's a brand of me. You know, your Instagram account, your Facebook account, it's a personal brand. So for me, the Chris Voss Show is a personal brand. I'd never sell it, but I do recommend what you guys said. And I tell my clients when I consult with them about starting podcasts and launching them, you know, they need to go through this consideration. Do you want to build something you want to sell? Do you want to have something that, you know, is a sellable asset? Because certainly putting your name on it, it makes it harder to sell it, if not impossible. I mean, what would the Chris Voss Show be if I wasn't appearing on it regularly and it was sold to someone else? That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? So I tell people, I'm like, you know, make your decision now, whether you want a personal brand silo or whether you want other things. And some people just do multiple podcasts and stuff. Yeah. And that's what I recommend.
Multiple podcasts, multiple work. That's what it's going to be, multiple work, but it's okay. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I absolutely love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Wise.
That you can, no matter what you go through in your life, you can face it, pick yourself up and set your and accomplish your goals and dreams. It's not hard to do. I didn't think I would ever be like a influencer, and it's just been a great journey and a great ride. So I just glad I found what I'm passionate about. I wish everyone can go out there and find what they're passionate about and just enjoy the ride, just grow and learn.
Okay. And where can people find you? How can they find you?
I'm on all major platforms. My podcast, Stuck in My Mind, is on Apple, iTunes, everything under the sun. We just launched our YouTube channel, Stuck in My Mind Podcast, is on YouTube. You can check out the production company at www.realwiseproductions.com. And you can check out the radio station at realwiseradio.com.
Wow, you have a lot that one day is going to be, so you can sell Real Wise. Amy, what do you have for the people?
Well, I think I would tell you, and what you're picking up here on this particular one, especially with, you know, the guys and Marvin too, is that get help sooner rather than later, whether that is a mentor, that is a business, whatever the case may be, where you've got an area, you're not going to be good at everything. You don't have to be, but get that help that you need sooner rather than later. And with working with that, I will offer you some things. In the show notes, you will have a link to the digital book, you know, how to add $10,000 to $100,000 to your bottom line. I would encourage you to go on my Facebook and look under events, because I've got a lot of free classes that are short, you know, little nuggets that you can absorb to help. There are also courses that I've got. I know other individuals have that too. And of course, this is something that you can control. You can control whether you have individuals come into your business and help you, or you can refuse to do it and take the long route. So don't go the long route. Costs money and time.
That's right. So go the short route with Amy, thesecretprofits.com. Thank you, Amy. Chris, what do you have for the people?
For me, Chris Voss at beaconsofleadership.com or thechrisvossshow.com. And that's where you can find me and stuff, and order my two books, Beacons of Leadership, and the other new one, wherever it is, top five keys to a rich life and business wealth handbook. The new one, it just barely came out.
Because that's what you want people to take away. No quotes, no words of wisdom, no inspiration.
Read the books. There's words of wisdom in there, darn it. Like, what do you think I wrote in there? I don't know. I wrote whatever the judge told me. Those are my words of wisdom. Read the darn book.
Read the darn book. That's what the judge says. Thank you, Chris. Marvin, we have a few minutes to the end of this show. What would you love for the people to take away?
Well, for me, for any business owner out there, as Amy said earlier in the discussion here, is that you should be ready to position your business. If something unexpected happens, you need to start thinking. It isn't so much that you're going to spend a lot of time planning now for something that's going to happen 10 years in the future, but you really need to start getting in that frame of mind, is that if an offer came along, that you would be ready to sell your business at the drop of a hat. And that is an unusual circumstances if people do are able to do that. But for me, I love stories. That's why I name my podcast Business Exit Stories. I think we learn so much from other people's experiences, other people's journey, other people's trials and tribulations. And any entrepreneur that is going to be in the next few years or even a decade from now thinking about that they're going to at some point in time have to step away from their business, listening to the podcast Business Exit Stories just is every episode has four different transactions in Reader's Digest form of the things that happened good to a business and the things that can happen bad to a business when it comes time to exit. And if you listen to these stories over time, it's like getting an MBA in business exits and how to sell your business. You'll learn so much from the stories of other people's so that you don't have to go through those. So you can find the podcast, any place you get your podcast from, just Business Exit Stories. You can go to the website, businessexitstories.com, and be able to download some of those episodes. But and just subscribe to them, and if you listen to these stories, you get 8 to 10 stories a month. Over time, there's real value and real golden nuggets in those stories.
Well, thank you, Marvin. I have to go check out some of those stories and learn from them. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching the show. I appreciate you sharing the show. But to me, the most important thing is that you support our guests. Our guests are here for you this morning, so please support them. Pick up a couple of copies of Chris's book, Work with Amy. She'll teach you something about those profits, that some secrets that you didn't know. We're going to get some wisdom from Wise, and Marvin's stories will definitely change your life. Mm-hmm. So support our guests. Visit their websites. Their link is in the description post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.